The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So our friends, good friends, live right down the road from us, invited us over for dinner, and they were having chicken noodle soup. And we're like, sure, yeah, that'd be great. But that's all it was, is chicken noodle soup.
Have you decided?
Get the swordfish. Best swordfish in the city. The best, Jerry.
I'll have the salmon. And you?
You know what I think? I'm just going to have soup. Yeah, I'll save the meal for another time.
So I said, you know, I was going to cook up burgers over here for lunch, me and Ann. Do you mind if I bring them over? And it was kind of a, oh, okay. Like, chicken noodle soup by itself is not a meal.
Another time? What other time?
I had a hot dog earlier. I'm not that hungry.
No, Ben, you know.
But stew is a meal. But you got to have bread with it. Like, this was standalone chicken noodle soup and Chardonnay.
Chicken noodle soup and Chardonnay.
This is the dinner. The soup counts.
Soup's not a meal. You were supposed to buy me a meal.
I'm not stopping you from eating. Go ahead and eat. Get anything you want.
But I don't want anything but soup.
Then that's the meal.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever.
Do you think Joshy's in a better mood today?
No, I think he's like his voice. He's just a straight line, very monotone, just plots along.
So
I didn't think he was in a bad mood yesterday. Were you, Josh?
But he was, and until we got to top eight, he was really short. He was dropping callers because if you remember, there was a caller, there was a fan who had a question about our opening song that you just heard there, and we never got to hear the question because Joshy had a little itchy trigger finger and yanked him, took his big old hook. Like in the Bugs Bunny cartoons, threw it out on stage and yanked the caller off the air.
Gabe, you don't know what it's like to be the best producer in the world, man. You got to multitask. There's a lot going on. How am I doing, Josh?
Wonderful. Well, appreciate it. Okay. Got your back. You're good all day today.
Look how much he's not doing though. He's got Will back there with him today. I mean, if you're on the YouTube stream, you can see. Hey, Will. You know, wave to everybody. You can see him back there. So what's Joshy doing?
He's just following in the big Lerp's footsteps. Ashton has an assistant now. So why do the producers get assistants, Gabe? We're the ones.
Well, in fairness,
that get the assistants.
In fairness, I'm like your assistant. Yeah. So yeah, in fairness,
I'm like his assistant, your assistant to his assistants. So all I'm doing back here is training a young up and coming superstar, getting them experience, getting them on the board. He wants to be here, which is pretty rare with the young kids we're dealing with.
All right.
Here.
So, you know, you got to be here 6:30 a.m. for the pre-show meeting.
So if you're showing up at 6:30, you get to do whatever you want, basically. That's how I'm going to treat it.
Is that how we've existed this long as a show? We're willing to show up at 6:30, 7 o'clock? So they're willing to show up. They've got a long leash. They can do whatever they want.
So it's a mentor-protege type thing. So when he hits it big, Josh, you're right. Like Andy Reid, I'm sure he goes, hey, you know what? Coach some great players, Mahomes, Donovan McNabb, Mark Chmura. Josh, is that
is that
what Will's going to be to you?
Right now I've staked out 50% of all of Will's future earnings just from working with him. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah,
not that I'm actually going to take them, but I'm going to take credit for them.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This isn't going to be like an Elvis manager situation where you're just reaping in the benefits years later.
When he makes a big one day, I'm going to say I did that.
Okay. Hey, I think
50%.
Are you guys big on price gouging?
I'm pretty low on it, if I'm going to be honest.
I don't have anything price gouge.
You want
to
hear a
story? It's only coming in my direction, so I'm anti. Yes. Let's hear the story, sir.
Okay, so the grass down here is finicky, and you're constantly fighting it.
Okay.
Right? And I'm like on my third round of trying to bring it back to life. And it's a pain in the rear end, you know, because if you lose a sprinkler head, Gabe, in the summertime, right,
mm-hmm.
and no one's watching your lawn, even though they're supposed to, it's a family member not doing his job, you know?
Are you going to name names, or are you just going to leave?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying.
Okay.
So, you know, if that area doesn't get water for, say, a week when it's 91 degrees, it's fried.
Yeah, it's...
It's past Wisconsin fried, you know, not getting water for a month. You can't bring that back without resodding it. So my buddy down the road put in turf, right?
Like just AstroTurf?
Yes.
Like Brady Bunch
with a putting green.
Lawn. Yeah.
Oh, and back.
Putting green. With a putting green. Okay, now you're talking about language.
It looks nice, clean, lush, right? And so my lawn cutting service, fertilizer, sprinklers cost me about $4,000
okay.
a year. So I asked him, I'm like, hey, how much did that turf cost to put in? He said, it was about 11 grand. I'm like, 11?
Uh-oh. Seems like somebody's doing something
this
to Chewy's.
This never happened before.
Yeah. I mean, the video froze, the internet cut out. Chewy was just about to reveal. Somebody had big turf down in Florida. Did not like what Chewy was about to say and clearly cut the connection. Chewy, are you there?
Josh?
We're good. You're on the
yes.
air.
Yes. You got me?
Okay. I thought big turf was cutting your connection, Chew. Oh, they are! Oh, my God! Is he there? Anytime he wants to talk about big turf, it just suddenly decides to go away.
I can hear you, Josh.
Okay, I got you.
I can hear you.
All right, I got you.
All right, here we go. We're going to try and do this. So I did the math. This math I can do.
Yep.
4,000 times 3 is 12. The turf is 11. In 3 years, it's paid for.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
With no hassle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, Bernie, you got the number? I'll give him a call. So I call him up, comes over for an estimate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bernie, my buddy, paid 11 grand in April.
Okay.
Not that long ago,
nope.
Right?
Mm-mm.
Gabe came out here. So I'm sitting here going, my lawn might be a little bigger than his, maybe 13.
Yeah, 12, 13. Yeah, 15. Something like that. Sure.
Josh and Gabe, guess what the bid came back at?
I'll say 24.
Josh?
I want 20.
48.
Whoa. 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 48?
48,000. I soiled myself. I'm like, this has got Bernie, you know, when he was telling me this, there was chicken noodle soup and Chardonnay. So I texted him last night just to check. And he's like, no, it was 11,200. In April, 11,200. 48,000. That's criminal. Angie was sitting there because she was more upset than me. She's like, when I owned the body shops and it snowed, I didn't jack my rates up because everyone's crashing times five. Kept it the same.
I mean,
that is the price gouge of all price gouges.
So... there's some follow-ups that are necessary here. Is the amount of surface area at least near the same? Like, that's going to be turf between you two. So it's relatively close.
Maybe, Josh, maybe 200 square foot difference. Not a lot.
So not enough to double the price.
Quadruple.
No.
Yeah, quadruple, sorry.
And then the other thing is,
even the things you're getting are the same. Like, because I'm sure there's different levels of turf that you can have. Like, we all see the one that's closer to carpet like you played on in the Superdome. And then there's like the field turf that I've seen some people have before in their backyards.
No. I texted him the estimate and he's like, no, this is exactly the same stuff I got. And I didn't ask for a putting green.
He got a putting green for cheaper?
He has a putt. I don't know. But then I said, well, do I text the guy back? And say, did I break one of your trucks in this estimate? Or
in one of these estimates, did you just assume I turned into the Incredible Hulk, got angry, and flipped a truck?
Yeah.
I would.
I'm like, that is insane.
I think curiosity would kill me here. I would have to talk to those people. And I'd have to say 11-2 versus 40XY. What's going on here?
Yeah,
what
like,
am I missing?
I reached out to you guys a recommendation of a buddy because he said that this was the price that he paid, not was even quoted. This is the price he ended up paying for his house that isn't, you know, I've got a little bit more, so whatever. But yikes. I can't imagine. Can you imagine if you tried to spend $48,000 on that? Your wife would kill you.
Yeah. Well, I sent her the bid and she's like, the comma's in the wrong spot. Shouldn't that be 4,800? 48,000. I'm like, I mean, I gotta respond and say, is this a joke or something?
See, so now we're.
I don't know.
People...
And everyone agreed. Everyone agreed, Gabe, that this is hurricane gouge.
Oh, I didn't even factor that in.
Yeah, I'm sure they're busier than normal.
Yeah, it's hurricane gouge.
4X.
Well, but I mean, I understand if you're busier than normal, but like, there's only so many hours in a day, right? Like, I guess if somebody's willing to pay more, you prioritize that job, but the labor cost is the labor cost.
Correct.
You're not. To me, that like that should be a fixed cost.
It feels so much that there has to be something missing more than gouge than a price gouge, like
yeah, because 22,000 would be a price gouge.
Yes.
25,000 would be a part. This is is above and beyond.
It feels like there's a missing piece here or a misunderstanding of some sort.
I think I know what it is. They think you're a sucker. He thinks he identified
a sucker. And I told the guy.
To reel you in.
I told the guy when he came out here. I'm like, oh, my buddy down the way recommended you, and his looks great. So, I mean, he has to know. There's an 11,200 in a four. I mean, what the? That's insane.
Yeah, that's what Ryan McGuanago says at the talk and text line, 800-990-3776, right after hurricane rates. Yeah. So I'm curious if you wait till like next spring, Chew, if that price comes down.
Yeah, that's what they were saying.
If that price ends up coming down. Matt and Racine says, sounds like that might be a, quote, I don't want to do this job kind of price, Chewy. And we have the Urn King saying, Chewy, I'll come down and re-turf your lawn in Florida. You can just pay me in Miller High Life.
That's a good deal. But there is, I mean, Florida is different. There have you guys heard there's a Midwest work ethic?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yes, there is. People in Florida, very nice, but they're lazy as it is like, and I know it's hot, but. Can you give me at least 4 hours in an 8-hour workday instead of 45 minutes?
Yeah, this is, man, yeah, I'm with Joshy. There's, you just have to have a follow-up conversation of, hey, is this just this high? I mean, are they charging four times? Because is that literally like the hurricane rate is four times?
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain level of supply and demand obviously going on here. There's probably a lot more people reaching out. But 4X, does that justify four times as many as they usually would have? Like
no, but this is a national company, Joshy, and they're not going to, I mean,
yeah,
it's corporate America. They rip you off.
Right.
I guarantee they're not going to go, oh, you caught me. I'm sorry. We'll go with the 11,000. He's going to say, that's what the price is. What do you want me to tell you?
I want you to tell me how, in the course of 6 months, this went from 11,000 to 48,000.
Yeah.
That's what I want you to tell me. That's the follow-up that you say.
This is just exploratory. I just want to know more. I need more information here, because there seems to be some missing.
Dwayne from West Penn says, next time you talk to him, tell him to take his mask off, because he's clearly trying to rob you.
Yes. Yeah. But there's part of me, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to beat my head against the building.
Yeah.
Just let it go.
No, yeah. I mean, like I said, the best thing you can do if you really want to do it is probably reach out next spring and see what the prices are then. So we'll follow up with you. As your assistant, I'll make sure I follow up with you next spring to see if that's something that you can do. But we've got other things we need to dive into here today. Jason Wilde, Craig Karmazin, we can reach you, Packers, Jaguars, as we get ready for a football Friday and a football weekend here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center is the only place to go for that ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. It's what you should be doing as well. Maybe you have an idea, you don't have an idea. If you don't, take a look at our Pinterest page, bring in some of those ideas. And the friendly team that Dean, the Dancing Machine, has put together over there at the Jewelry Center, always going to point you in the right direction. Whether you're looking for naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for, they've got it at the Jewelry Center. Check out their inventory at any one of the three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or shop online, shoptjc.com.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, dude.
Ooh, is it a Dude Friday?
It's a Dude Friday.
It is.
Dude, I love it.
How impressed were you yesterday, Jason, with Jeff Hafley and how he is handling Robert Saleh being around the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I'm not real proud of what I'm about to say. I don't even like this phrase, but I don't think there's any better phrase for me than this. I think I might have a man crush.
I didn't think you were going there. That's okay.
I have one on YouTube.
So does Gabe.
You hulking man. People don't know how big I am. I just love the way he handles everything, right? Like, I was talking to Kenny Clark yesterday, and look, I even said this to Hafley when he tried to make it sound like all coaches listen to their guys and take their thoughts and put them into practice. And I was like, dude, well, I didn't say dude, but I wanted to say dude. I said, look, I've done this long enough, and you've coached long enough. You know that that's not true of every coach. I mean, Joe Barry. I just like everything about him. I like the way he allows his players to have input into what he wants to do. I love the fact that he is – there is nothing I like better in a person – not in terms of their relationship with me, because loyalty is my biggest thing when it comes to their interpersonal relationships with me. But in terms of a quality, a self-confidence, not a cockiness, not an arrogance, but a self-confidence where you're not constantly insecure, to me, is such an important piece of your personality in allowing you to succeed. And there is no way in God's green earth that every coach would have taken the Saleh addition well. Now, my point was, this is a guy who, as he said, one of his best friends in football, not as close to Robert Saleh as Matt LaFleur is, who was the best man in his wedding, but these guys worked together. They stayed, Robert Saleh would check in with him when he was the defensive coordinator at Ohio State, when he was the head coach at BC. Like, there's a legitimate friendship there. And so if that was, I thought maybe, that's because of their special relationship. And I believe him when he says that if it had been some guy he'd never met before, if the guy can help us win, that's all I care about. Like, you hear guys, and Chewy, good Lord, I think we just said this yesterday, you hear guys talk all the time about how it's just about winning. It's all about winning. But it's not all about winning for them. It's about making sure they get theirs and making sure that they get credit and targets and everything else. And I believe Jeff Hafley when he says this. I just think he's a very convincingly authentic, not insecure coach. And I think that's a really good combination when you add it to talent on his side of the ball and his willingness to allow those guys to be part of the conversation on what they're going to run.
Jason, we learned yesterday that the Packers are pretty cap healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Could they afford a contract taking on a contract this year of like a Max Crosby or a Myles Garrett, who are both two of the top paid at their position. Could that work?
Certainly they could. I mean, you know, again, I don't know those guys' contracts off the top of my head, but there may be some adjustments. But the bottom line is that, you know, when you clear all that space from Rodgers in one fell swoop last year, right, that puts you in a great spot. And then, mm-hmm. I mean, they've got all these young guys on their rookie deals that, and look, you know, yes, obviously they paid the quarterback. But Jordan Love's contract for the first couple of years is super cap friendly for being a franchise QB. So yeah, they could certainly do that. I don't necessarily feel like they're going to do something like that or that they need to do something like that, but they have the wherewithal to do it. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit at the end of our show yesterday, Jason, where I don't think that Myles Garrett or Max Crosby are actually going to become available because good teams mm-hmm. and good franchises don't let players like that go and don't trade them away. But if they become available, like, they are that guy away to me from being favorites in the NFC. I mean, if they have somebody that they can just count on that's going to get be able to get pressure, and now you don't have to do these exotic blitzes all the time, you can still mm-hmm. do them, but it's just another tool. Like, to me, that takes the defense to another level. That makes them the favorites in the NFC if they have a difference maker like that on defense. Would you agree?
Yeah, I of course I agree. You're a smart guy. but the first part of what you said is what, you know, it's the same thing with Cooper Kupp. Like, I saw McVay said after the game yesterday that he, you know, he's glad he's back and expects him to stay with him. And, you know, I understand the fire sale concept. I understand the, well, we're out of contention. Let's get some assets. But, like, Myles Garrett is still a very valuable asset, not in trade maneuvering, but to have on your football team. Same with Max Crosby. Same with Cooper Kupp. Like, you know, if you're, let's say you're going into a rebuild, which Lord knows the Browns have done that enough. But don't you still want Myles Garrett on your team? I mean, unless Myles Garrett wants out.
It's a pretty good piece right? to build around.
Right.
Well, it's a building block. Said that.
Crosby kind of said what Rodgers said years ago. I don't want to be part of a rebuild. Well, I'm sorry, but you're at the start of a rebuild.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is, we've said it a million times, but this is what happens when you get the quarterback position, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Deshaun Watson acquisition has to go down. It's got, I mean, for different reasons, but it's got to go down in history, like the John Hadle trade in Green Bay or the Herschel Walker trade in Minnesota. Like, what a galactically stupid move that has turned out to be. Like, we were saying this in the press box on Sunday when he ruptured his Achilles, and I don't wish that on anyone, but like, there's got to be part of the Browns that are like, well, at least we don't have to deal with benching him because he's going to be injured, right? Like, mm-hmm. that you know, it's bad when a guy blows out his Achilles and there's not a complete downside to it. So yeah, those guys are on teams that are train wrecks, but as we've seen, you know, for example, with Houston a year ago, I know they didn't play very well against the Packers last Sunday, but like, you know, you get a good draft class. I mean, look at the Packers, for goodness sake. Like, no one would have thought they would do what they did last year. I mean, I know some people did, but Gabe and I certainly didn't. That, you know, you have a really strong draft class. Whoever your young quarterback is that you get next pops, and you're in a really good spot. So I think fortunes can turn really quickly, and the Rodgers, I don't want to be part of a rebuild. I've said it once. I've said it 1,000 times. If he'd have been fun Uncle Aaron with the young guys, and now he was playing with all this young talent around him to the point where they can't give Christian Watson the ball enough because they've got so many guys they're throwing to, he'd be in a much better position had he lived through like a half season rebuild than he is currently in New York.
Jason, give me the top five players on this team. And I'll give you the first two. I'll give you my first two, okay? Top
five. Five or four you're going to give me.
I'm going to give you one and two. And I don't know who 3, 4, 5 is. So I'll give you one and two. One is Love. Two is McKinney. Who's three?
Well, contrary to what Bill Barnwell seems to think, I think Josh Jacobs is on that list. I would say that the wide receiver position is still difficult to differentiate, but it's probably, it's got to be Reed, right? And then, you know, the guy that I would just like to take a brief victory lap here, because now he's just better than you. He just needs the accolades, is Tucker Kraft. Like, I don't know how you don't look at that guy. I don't know how you don't look at that guy and say, this guy, if he stays healthy, is going to be a stud tight end in the form of, you know, George Kittle or Mark Chimura. So those are the guys that spring to mind initially. But there's, I'm sure I'm snubbing a guy or two. Like, is should Zach Tom be somewhere on the list?
I mean, what would be worse, Jason, to lose Zach Tom or lose Rashid Walker?
Ooh, well, that's an interesting question. I have no idea how Andre Dillard would play at left tackle. I mean, I just don't. I don't have the first clue. Like, I wasn't sure he was going to make the team, right? And it looks to me like that they've now decided that Kadeem Telford is just backing up right tackle and Andre Dillard is backing up left tackle instead of having a swing guy. I think they feel like they got two guys that can only play one tackle spot, which is less than ideal. You know, here's the other thing, and I hate to do this because I got after Tausch for it, but I am completely going to duck that question because Tausch was, I don't want to say bragging, but he was talking about, quick aside, sports writers who are on deadline back in the old newspaper days, but just in general, the one thing you never want to have one of your colleagues say is, boy, this game's going by really fast.
Yeah.
Because that's a guarantee for the game to slow down, right? And for a team, I think the one of the things that even though we all know that it has no impact on what actually may happen in reality, Tausch talking the other day about how healthy these guys are compared to everybody else. I was like, ooh, cringy. Right, exactly. So I personally don't want to go down that road because I don't want to get the angry tweets. But they're in a great spot right now, and we're seeing other teams lose guys left and right. So if they can avoid that fate, I don't think they need to add anybody at the trade deadline, and B, they've got enough really, really good players that they could be in a really good spot from the end of the season.
Jason, I know Quay Walker returned to practice yesterday, but with as well as Eric Wilson played and as much as Quay has struggled against the run, what are the odds we see Quay wearing the green dot or is somebody else going to wear the green dot so they can kind of rotate Quay with some of the other linebackers that have played well and he becomes more part of a rotation?
Yeah, it's a great question. Halfley kind of dodged that one yesterday, but he did say that Eric Wilson essentially is too good of a player to not have on the field sometimes.
Well, and Halfley's shown that he's willing. I mean, what they've done with the defensive backfield, he's willing to mix things up.
Yeah, roll the
dice. It's almost like you were listening to the press conference because that's exactly what he said. But look, we've shown that we're willing to rotate guys in. They do it on the defensive line all game long. They do it in the secondary, so I would hope after a performance like he had that they would have room for Eric Wilson. My question is, and I would defer to the football expert on the panel, I know I'm not the only person to ask this, is it possible that Quay would be better somewhere other than Mike? Would he be better as a Will?
Yeah, I don't see him. Jason, he runs around blocks. You know, and he takes edges and he takes side. A Mike linebacker has to take whoever's blocking him nose to nose and then shed him and make the tackle. He can't run around blocks, and he does it time and time again. To me, he's not a Mike linebacker.
So would it work better if he was a Will?
Yeah. I thought he would be a guy that they would put on the right side, put on the left side, I thought he'd be like, a threat, a more of a threat blitzing. He just never, you know, Jason, he is in a sense a lot like Wayne Simmons. Wayne Simmons would show up for big games, but if you're playing a cupcake team and the lights aren't on, then he just disappears.
So you're telling me that Wayne Simmons wouldn't have shown up for the game coming up on Sunday? He's noon, noon at Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Don't count on much from Wayne.
If the lights weren't on, you know, he kind of played down to his competition. You know?
Yeah, look, I'm going to cut you off because Wayne Simmons is – I'm still afraid of Wayne Simmons, and he's dead. Like,
I wasn't sure you knew that. I was going to bring that up because I saw the – I heard the fear in your voice, Jason.
Yeah, he's – like, he still scares – he still intimidates me. Like, I think I interviewed him a grand total of once. Like, he's the only player in my career – that I was afraid to go talk to. Like, I just, so I understand RIP, but I mean, I'm afraid that, you know, it's Halloween coming around the corner here. Yeah. I'm afraid that he could just come back and still scare the crap out of me, even now.
Jason, we appreciate it, bud. Look forward to you guys breaking down Packers-Jags coming up in about 90 minutes on Wildy and Tausch.
Yeah, I only show up for the big games, too, so I'm probably not going to break down the
Jaguars. You're going to phone it in and let Jesse and Tausch kind of handle the show today?
No, I can't do that because Jesse doesn't work on Friday. So I'll have to,
how did he get that deal?
Yeah, I don't. It's a great question. I don't have the answer.
When you make your own schedule, you can pick the days you work.
He's the boss. Just ask him. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wildy joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. The next best round of golf for you going to be happening at the Wisconsin Country Club. It's a beautiful day. I'm going to be out there today. Can't wait to get my round in at a beautiful, challenging tree-lined fairways. The course is great. I don't get sick of it. But what's great about the Wisconsin Country Club is there's no assessments, no food and beverage minimums, and a top 100 teaching professional. We've also got tennis, pickleball courts, pool, great for the kiddos during the summertime, especially when they have their themed Sunday fun days each and every week. Get started today. All you have to do is visit thewisconsincountryclub.com for membership info and join me out there at the Wisconsin Country Club, just a fair way away.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of a right tackle.
I have a question. Yes. I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj? Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I am really curious what I think that's one of the things I'm looking for this Sunday, Chew, is, and maybe it's just like a nerdy thing, maybe it's a weedsy thing, but to me, do they put that green down on Xavier McKinney? Just because, like, Quay Walker hasn't been productive at that middle linebacker spot. And when you have somebody who had the game like Eric Wilson did, and I'm not saying you bench Quay Walker completely because he's done some good things. There's been some things they like that he's done in coverage. I'm not saying, you know, drop his snap count down to Eric Stokes levels, what we saw. Stokes played 8 or 9 snaps last week. But I'm open for trying some new things at that inside linebacker spot just to see if it helps with the run defense.
Yeah, but the dot is who calls the plays.
Yeah.
I just thought it always should be the Mike linebacker because the Mike linebacker a lot of times has to set the front for the D-line.
Yeah.
Has to slide him away because, you know, everything's fluid. Because there's certain coverages you cannot play to certain formations.
Yeah.
So the Mike linebacker has to know from that. Now, I'm not sure if the safety – I never asked Leroy if the safety trumps everything else. Because in the NFL, there is a base coverage you go to that's good. I wouldn't say good. It's good against everything, but it does not have the potential to be great.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the safe, you know, you see when the safety comes up and crosses his hands like an X, or they pound their hands together, they're usually going to a base coverage, and our base coverage back in the day was box poach. Safe.
Yeah.
Safe against the deep ball, safe against pretty much everything else. Safe, but not going to be great. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But their Mike linebacker, Gabe, has to know a lot.
Yeah, but if that Mike linebacker isn't being productive, Like, doesn't that, because the green dot is still, the green dot is still relatively new compared to like how long.
I think it's a formality.
Yeah.
I really think it is. You know, because let's say you have a game managing type quarterback that doesn't do anything flashy. You're not going to take the green dot from him. I mean, give it to a receiver.
Well, no, but the quarterback's also never coming out. My point is maybe you're kind of rotating, because if Eric Wilson's better in early downs, you know, against the run, and then you take him off the field because you like Quay Walker's ability to cover the middle of the field because of his speed and he's better against the pass, and you're rotating that guy off, like, McKinney's going to be out there every play. I know Xavier McKinney's going to be out there every play.
Are there two green dots? Are there two green dots or just one?
Just one.
There's
only one helmet that you can communicate with.
I mean, Gabe, I hate to tell you this, but they should have one linebacker that never comes off the field. And
yeah, but
I don't know if they have a good enough linebacker for that.
I say, that's supposed to be
saying.
Quay.
Yeah, that's the point. Like, it's supposed to be Quay, but he hasn't been that guy. And I don't have a problem with it if they're rotating those linebackers in and out. I just default to McKinney just because I know McKinney's never coming off the field unless he's hurt.
Josh, you might be too young. How old were you during the Super Bowl years?
The good ones. 8 or 9.
The good ones, yeah.
Okay.
As opposed to the bad one in 2010? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, of course. One of my first memories of sports is that Super Bowl.
Yeah, but Gabe, in you're a little farther along in life than Josh.
It's a nice way to say I'm old.
Do you agree with me when it comes to Wayne Simmons?
So I didn't know.
Sometimes he was there and sometimes he's not.
As a 10-year-old who was watching that team, like, I was days away from turning 11 after you guys won Super Bowl 31.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I didn't notice as much because you guys had playmakers all over the place. You know?
I know, but
like,
Wayne,
so to me, like, Reggie was a consistent performer. Leroy was a consistent performer.
Yeah.
But like, Doug Evans, one week, Doug Evans would have a big week, or Eugene would have a big week, or Sean Jones, Gilbert Brown, everybody loved him. So you guys had just so many different, really, guys that performed week in and week out. To me, as a casual young fan, I wouldn't notice if Wayne Simmons was having an off week because, Reggie's got 2 sacks this week. Who cares? You know what I'm saying?
But the weird thing is for, like, myself, and it's the perception back then as opposed to now for some players. It's like they were average players when they played, and then because they're out and about and doing this thing, people think they were a much better player than they actually were.
Sure.
I mean, Wayne Simmons never, ever even sniffed a Pro Bowl.
Nope.
But the perception of him is like, oh, this guy was, he was a beast, man. Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I think he gets that reputation because he's someone that, and I know that, you know, Holmgren ended up winning that battle and getting him out, but I know Ron Wolf has been on the record saying, hey, wish I went to got rid of that guy. I think if we have that guy, he's a difference maker in Super Bowl 32. So because of that, that legend grows. Much like, I mean, so you want to know who that guy was for, I guess, the bad Super Bowl team of 2010? Like, Colin Jenkins is that guy for a lot of Packer fans. Like, he was good. He was okay. But, like, he, especially in 2010, he got talked about as if he was the second coming of Reggie White.
I see Craig's right on time.
Yeah, well, we're a little late getting to Craig, so, you know, we will...
A little late?
Well,
he just walked in. I saw him right behind you.
Yeah, he said that he was going to come and be live in person at 7:45. He let us know that.
Okay.
So, you can rip him for being late. We'll do that with Craig Karmazin as he joins us coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But I do want to tell you, ditch the random channel surfing with your remote. Grab your phone and open the ESPN app. With their new Where to Watch feature, it's a game changer. With so many games going on, the ESPN app is your answer for what channel, what app, or what stream to get to. Want to know where the Bucks are tipping off on a Thursday night? Boom, ESPN app. Need the channel for Sunday's Green and Gold game? You already have the answer. It's the ESPN app's Where to Watch tab. Say goodbye to frustration and hello to watching sports. Download the ESPN app from your app store and find the Where to Watch TV icon.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Counsell in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's Friday.
Always love catching up with Good Karma Brands founder, CEO, Craig Karmazin, who joins us in studio in the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All studios. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Chewy. Are you going to say that you're going to criticize me for being late today?
Yeah, 7:30 is your slot.
Okay, good call. 7:30 is my slot. Josh, in the time that you've been, how long have you been producing this show?
Just over a year now.
How many times have you gotten to me within 5 minutes of 7:30?
Maybe less than five times.
I don't believe any.
You like good radio, though.
At 7:36 is the earliest I've ever gotten a call from you.
See,
all.
See, hold on. There's a little Romeo Dobbs here.
Oh, boy.
There's a little Romeo Dobbs here. You know?
No, it's the opposite, mister. I'm not in the studio today. You didn't come in the studio today, so what I called Joshy and said is, hey, I'm good to go at my regular time, but if you want me in studio, I'll be there at 7:45. And he said, oh, let's do that.
It's like you want us to punt. It's the end of the game, and you're like, okay, I thought you would just get one first down. You got another one, so it sounds like you don't want us to keep going. You don't want bad radio when we're on. Those 5 minutes are most times.
Oh yeah, like everyone
the best
cares.
Part
like,
of the show.
Oh my God, Quay Walker might not be the Mike linebacker. I'm sure a lot of people know what that means. Like, a Will.
You know what?
Oh,
he
might be the Will linebacker. That's gonna change my weekend. I know for sure. He's gonna have
Gabe.
A dot on his helmet, or he's not, or I don't even know what dots you guys are talking about.
Gabe, so between segments, I walk around the property because that's what I just do to get out and take. And I'm sitting there going, you know what? I'll be nice to him about the Bucks because he's an owner and he really can't answer. I'm asking the tough question. Okay, you ready? You ready, Mr.
Yes,
Smarty Pants?
I want the tough question.
I don't want the political. I am so sick of political ads. I don't need a political answer right now. Do the Bucks have the most pressure they've ever had on them? Not to win the champion and win everything, but to be relevant this year, go to, what's it called in basketball?
Eastern Conference Finals,
because if it's another crap year and they get ousted in the first round, there is a big chance Giannis is gone.
Yeah, if you look at what's going on with Project 2025 and our borders, you know exactly what's going on with the Milwaukee Bucks right now, Chewy. So I don't need to get away from any of these political ads to know exactly what's going on in this country right now. Oh, no, I mean, of course, if the Bucks lose in the first round 3 straight years, I don't think it has anything to do with Giannis. It has to do with what the team is. So, yes,
no,
this is a team that's
insane.
Supposed to be competing for a championship every year. And if this team loses in the first round, of course there would be major issues. Now, I think one of the things you didn't mention, Giannis has been hurt the last 2 years. So when you're talking about losing in the first round, Giannis hasn't been there the last 2 years. So, I mean, if a healthy Bucks team is a first-round exit team, of course there's going to be major changes. But it's the beginning of the year. It's the first year that Dame and Giannis have a year together. Chris Middleton is going to be back this year. You know, all of those John Deere Horicon Works, weed whacking, what is it,
in the weeds
players that are way less in the weeds than any of the Packer crap I hear you guys talk about, you know,
yeah, but
are
you hear
going to be contributing.
Yes. Yes. Get
you
him,
hear.
Get him.
Mister, I used to mow the lawn. No, I'm sure you still
correct.
Do. Yes.
Forgot what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Gabe, go ahead. It was good, though.
What is the NBA going to do ultimately about this players not playing issue? I mean, they're investigating Joel Embiid. I don't think anybody's going to do anything. I don't think anything's going to happen despite Embiid saying he's not going to play a back-to-back for the rest of his career. I used to be on the side of, okay, you have to rest these guys. But at the same time, man, like, you're playing basketball. Asking someone to play 65 to 70 games of basketball before the playoffs, it shouldn't be this difficult.
Yeah, and the way I look at it also is, like, should that be part of your ability to win a championship? Like, let's just say you could have a good enough team
mm-hmm.
where you could sit your best player for the whole regular season, make the playoffs, get the 8 seed, and then win. Is that like, are you a champion if you do that? I don't know. Maybe you are. Maybe it is just about April, May, June. But to me, I think there is something about playing in the regular season. It's been part of the culture of the NBA since the beginning. Kawhi Leonard had some really specific injuries that he had multiple times where, you know, having load management for him made a lot of sense. And we've seen when he's played too much what's happened. So I do think guys should play. But there are going to be injuries. And Charles Barkley said it. There's going to be injuries. And maybe on a back-to-back, guys shouldn't play more than 25 minutes, right? Maybe you limit their minutes. But the idea of them not playing at all just doesn't feel right. And if it's that to that level and teams feel that way, then maybe this should be a 66-game season that doesn't have back-to-back games on the calendar. You know, maybe that's what it is. And I don't see NBA owners wanting to make less money and NBA players wanting to make less money by going to 66 games. But if it's not reasonable for players to play that much, then it's probably not how long the season should be.
Craig, what was your take on the LeBron-Bronny thing? I was against it from the standpoint that he's not an NBA player. So his spot on the roster had to take the place of someone who deserved to be there. That was my issue. What was your take on the whole thing?
Well, if you look at it, I'll give you a similar situation. Like, let's go back a few years, and a guy who had a father who was at the top of his field ended up buying a business in the same exact field. May not have had the opportunity, would not have had the opportunity at 22 years old, if his father wasn't a legendary, iconic CEO in that industry. So I'm not saying that I, in 1997...
Wait, you're Bronny?
Yes, I was Bronny. I mean, I didn't like... My dad didn't like have me drafted to his team, and I didn't play in his company, and I didn't work in his company.
But
someone else maybe could have bought the radio stations in Beaver Dam that I bought. And if it wasn't for who my dad was, there's no chance I would have had the opportunities to do what I did.
Craig,
so who am I to judge Bronny James?
No, that's a bad analogy.
Okay.
Because your dad didn't make you vice president of Sirius Radio.
He did not.
He made you the president of the Saginaw Lollipops. Okay?
And he didn't make me. I chose to do it, but he helped me a lot.
But you know what, Gabe? Am I right or wrong?
The Saginaw Lollipops, Craig Karmazin.
Okay, so Chewy, you know this better than anybody. How much is the 12th or 15th guy on a basketball team or the 56th guy or 51st guy on an NFL team going to be the difference between winning a Super Bowl or not? Probably not that much, right?
Very little. Yes,
very little.
Correct.
So if by having that person, be it Thanasis, be it Bronny, if that engages your best player that much more that it makes you more likely to win a championship because your best player gets ticked up a little notch by the nature of having that person on your team, I don't see the argument against it.
Chewy,
well, I'll give you the argument. I'll give you the argument right now.
Yeah.
You could lose the locker room.
I agree you could lose the locker room if you're putting that person in the rotation and losing games as a result. If that person is a great teammate, if that person is, let's just say, Thanasis, right, who everybody loves, who's helping younger players, who's cheering everyone on, who's supporting teammates on and off the court, it's not going to lose the locker room. If you're Bronny James and you're working hard in every drill, you're doing all the right things, like, do you think guys care about, hey, I wish someone else was on a 10-day contract or a two-way contract in the NBA? I mean, they want their best player engaged. So players are going to support it.
I don't know.
I don't know because
in Cleveland, Craig, you know, my college roommate lives there, and he's dialed into everything going on.
Yeah.
He said the locker room wanted Watson on the bench.
Yep, absolutely.
But the owner wanted him on the field.
Yep.
And that destroys a locker room.
That totally does.
That wrecks a locker room.
Yes, and that absolutely does. And, you know, in the Cleveland situation, right, you have all that guaranteed money for Deshaun Watson. I mean, there's nothing else you could do. By the way, sneaky, like, random prediction – not this coming year, but the year after, Deshaun Watson traded back to the Houston Texans to be Stroud's backup. And the Browns eat most of the money.
No way.
To rehabilitate himself, get back where he was, get some confidence, all that.
Chewy, you'll get a kick out of this because I'm sure you didn't see it yesterday. To continue the LeBron storyline. So Christopher Mad Dog Russo, you know, a legend Doggy. In the industry.
Yeah.
Doggy, you see him on First Take every Wednesday, does a show on SiriusXM. Yesterday, Craig, he said that his son is a better radio host than Bronny is a basketball player. And the reason why I'm asking you this is because, well, his son, former ESPN Madison teammate, now ESPN West Palm teammate, doing his own show down at ESPN West Palm. Do you agree with Doggy's assessment of his son versus Bronny?
I think his son is at a similar place to Bronny. And I just don't think you can give... When you think about the amount of people who want to be basketball players in the world, mm-hmm. I think Bronny is at a higher level than is Chris.
A Mad Dog?
Not Mad Dog, but but his son, right? So I'm not going to give Chris that, but I think it's close. Like, because I think they're at a similar place right now, but... I mean, an NBA player. I mean, Bronny was going to be a high-level scholarship player in college basketball, regardless of who he was. His game got picked apart probably more because he was LeBron's son. Scouts had more and more looks at him and probably had identified his weaknesses more. And if he had had the opportunity to play in a good college system for 2 or 3 years, I mean, he probably would have been an NBA player. So I'm not going to say he is today, but Colin Russo is a great talent, has earned everything he got, and I would put him a small notch below where Bronny is right now.
Okay, fair enough.
Can't wait to send that to him.
Yeah.
the thing that I didn't like about the Bronny thing was just the manufacturing of the moment and the treating of it as it was historic in that it's never been done before, but it was all manufactured to be that way. All it ended up being was a photo opportunity for LeBron out there. Like, I don't care about the last guy.
No, Josh, you're saying it's a photo opportunity, but you're not thinking about the previous 40 years. You're not thinking about a guy who never met his father, who doesn't know to this day, I don't believe, who his father is, who had a single mother who was, you know, seemingly drug addicted at times and needed a lot of help to raise her child, who somehow made it out, ended up being this incredible basketball player, ended up having the highest expectations anyone's ever had, and then exceeded them and had his son at 20 years old while they're trying to be an all-NBA player. And to be able to be a father through those times, to be able to elevate your game, to be able to then play deeper into your career at a higher level than anyone in the history of the NBA has done, to where you have the ability to help manufacture the drafting of your son to your team and have that is the culmination of a life worth lived that is one of one. So to diminish it and talk about the one picture, it takes away the work every day on and off the court, the parenting work, the basketball work, everything that LeBron James and Bronny James did to do that. So to me, that's an incredibly special moment that in this day and age, we all have to have hot takes on, that to me is just like a beautiful moment as a parent.
Special moments are moments that aren't produced, that aren't using your leverage to happen. A special moment is something that occurs because special circumstances. The special circumstances here are LeBron is one of the greatest basketball players ever, so he forced it to happen. I don't think it's the same thing as, wow, my son was so talented, he became this level of draft pick, and then on merit ended up here because I was a great father who didn't have one before and raised him to be that. It's totally different circumstances.
So Chewy,
Guy that got caught?
Chewy, when you got a picture with your sons when you were coaching their football team.
Yes.
How special was that for you? Coaching your two boys. Given all the things you went through, you decided to stay in Wisconsin, and then they were playing football, and they were both playing football together. How special was that, right?
That was awesome. Yes.
Was that manufactured, Joshy? Because Chewy was able to coach his own team.
You mean high school sports?
Even though he was, yeah.
You mean high school sports where it's, do you try out? Do you show up and go to practice every day? It's a little different, is it not?
It's a lot different. And if that was special for Chewy, think about how special it was for LeBron James.
But Josh, what you're confusing here is that the NBA is first and foremost an entertainment product. It's not this meritocracy where the best, how many ever NBA players there are, those are the top 200 or whatever players are making NBA rosters. That's just not the way any of that works.
So Josh, I wasn't entertained by that portion of their act.
So Josh, you don't think it's special that that Giannis and Thanasis were able to win a championship together?
Not particularly, no.
Yeah.
It doesn't really do much for me.
Yep. Okay.
Because you got to think of the guy that got cut because the player is on that team, not for what he does on the court, but for who he knows.
Chewy, I bet you Josh's favorite Christmas movie is like Die Hard because he doesn't like any of like the romantic, like, Hallmark, like where things, I knew it was going to happen. It was so obvious. It was so dumb. Of course, I knew in the first minute they were going to end up together.
I don't like being told I should feel something when it's not real.
Yeah, get him. I'm with you. I got your back.
It just doesn't work for me. It's not authentic.
Who's telling you to feel anyway?
The entire NBA landscape?
Joshy. These two blue bloods that are on the show with us. I mean, come on. Blue me and you are meat and potato guys.
Keith over there.
I grew up in a swamp, man. Like,
you've been to Europe to play golf twice. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Thank you, Craig.
Like, the old course versus the older course. Like, I don't even know what he's talking about here. Like, and then he sits up for an hour on Monday nights. Tuesday nights. It's not only him and Stephen Watson go on this trip, but then we all sit around for an hour and just listen to them. What was your favorite hole? How awesome was it when you hit that? What was the best shot you hit? What was the best shot? Like, I mean, I get that my friends and I might text about stuff like that, but you guys, then we all listen to you for an hour talk about that?
Yeah. No, thank you for listening. I appreciate you listening.
Turn it on you now, too, Dave. He convinced me.
I don't know what happened here.
Josh, do you at least love LeBron and Bronny now that I turned on Gabe?
Yeah, I'm starting to warm up.
Okay, good. That was my goal. Chewy, are you with me now also?
That was a great pot stir. Josh, that's one thing me and you have in common. We know how to stir that pot.
Craig, always appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, guys.
Hour 2, 2 minutes.